What is your earliest Easter memory? Yeah, gloves and all.
Yes.
Fancy Easter gloves. Adam remembers his Easter gloves and his dress. Yes, Mr. Ward. Earliest Easter memory. Has to be a memory. Has to be Easter. Go ahead.
So, we went to our Aunt Kay's house, and our Grandpa Mark, who we usually don't see at all, he came there with a Target bag. And help me pick up eggs. The Easter egg.
Awesome.
And then we went to this restaurant as extended.
Yeah. Family. I love it. Porter, you have an early Easter memory. Very cool. My boys always like Easter egg hunting. All right. What is your favorite part about Easter?
Little chocolate eggs.
Which kinds of chocolate eggs? Like Robin's eggs, Cadbury eggs. Okay, I have to be honest. Okay, so I grew up, fun fact about Pastor Paul. Okay, so Pastor Paul grew up in a cult. So Pastor Paul didn't celebrate Easter for the majority of his 45 years. And so all I ever knew was I was missing out on Easter, which meant missing out on Cadbury eggs. And so my first, dude, I hit it like a cocaine bear. And I ate so many, so much, I don't even want to taste again. Yeah. Yeah.
So I just, my mom uses this bag of Cadbury eggs to put in our Easter eggs.
Basket?
Yeah. And I find them. Open
and just start eating. No. What's your favorite part of Easter? Brooks. Church, pastor, and hearing the wonderful message that you prepared for me. That's what you wanted to say, right? That's what you meant to say. Good. Good. Porter, favorite part about Easter? Come on. Drill down on that for me, dude. Drill down on that for me a little bit.
Easter egg hunting.
Easter egg hunting. Okay. Miss Yaya. Favorite part about Easter?
Fun.
What is one of your family's Easter traditions? Hand down. Okay, I'm gonna hear from somebody else too. Like, this is a part of what makes Easter Easter at your house. This is something that you do every Easter Sunday or Easter weekend. Like, this happens. This is one of the things that we do. Miss King. Something that you always do on Easter that makes Easter part of Easter. A tradition. The kings always do this. And if we don't do this, then it's not Easter. Ward, put your hand down. Thank you. Oh, you got something right there. I can tell. It's right on the tip of your tongue. Oh, very cool. All right. Yeah, an Easter brunch, Easter breakfast. All right. I like it. Miss Haley, you? An Easter tradition. Extended family? Okay, so it's just your five. Yeah. Sister coming home, you know, this should be cool. Super cool. Yeah, Ward.
So we go to our Aunt Kay's house in Lima.
Yeah. Focus.
So she always decorates for Easter with all these big inflatables, and we go there and we eat dinner, which is amazing because they have deviled eggs.
Oh yeah. Nothing says Easter like deviled eggs.
And then we do an Easter egg hunt.
Very cool. Very cool. For me, Easter did yes, Porter.
All I do sometimes is not all the time, but
I love this kid.
We go around and
you know what? When I think of Jesus rising from the grave, that's just him cleaning crap out of the world, too. So why not go around the house and clean? Yes. Porter, thank you. Yes. Well, you better do it this year or there's no Easter. Yeah. Yeah, for me, ask my family, it's pretty much, you know, every Easter after, Jackson, what do I watch? Ten Commandments. It's just this thing that I do. I watch the Ten Commandments. I normally sleep through most of it. Doesn't matter, but Charlton Heston's going on, let my people go. And yeah, just that's part of the Easter tradition. Okay, we're going to say the creed. We're going to say the Apostles' Creed. See if you can do it from memory. Okay, see if you're able to. If not, you can look at the book, but we're working our way through at least the second article. Okay, you guys ready? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Hey, good job, guys. Good job, good job, good job, good job. Yeah, you want to start getting that in. You want to start feeling that. You want to start knowing that. You want to start pressing that into your heart, into your mind. That's the foundation of truth. And the whole creed is built around who? God. I believe in God the Father. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Spirit. Okay? God, Father, provider, protector, the source of life. As a father, wants to give life, create life, share love with the Son. The Son speaking creation, saving creation. The Spirit hovering over our chaos. Yeah, absolutely. So getting that creed, okay? Today, on the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. We ready to jump into this? Ready to do this? Okay. So it's been brought to my attention that I'm really bad at numbering things. So thank you to Ms. King for helping me. I'll go through and get that fixed. What does the creed mean that Jesus rose again from the dead? What do you think? Don't look at it. Don't look at it. Don't look. There you go. That's right. Hand on. What do you think? Talk to me about it. What does the creed mean that Jesus rose again from the dead? Sonia, what do you think? Okay. Cool. Yeah. Ward. All right. Yeah. Okay. I'm with that. Reggie, how about you? What do you think? What do you think we're talking about? What does the creed mean that Jesus rose again from the dead? What's the creed trying to teach me, trying to show me? What do I need to remember? Anything come to mind?
It seems pretty self-explanatory.
It is. It is. It is pretty self-explanatory. Yep. Jackson, you got something to add? Went from the spiritual realm to the physical realm? Okay. How about this? Read this with me. God restored Jesus physically from death to life in his resurrected body, never to die again. Okay? Let's write that down. Let's write that down, and then we're going to unpack it together. Mr. Adam, could you help us out? Could you get attendance done? I completely failed at getting it done last week. No, no, no. No victims, no snowflakes, none of that. It's on you. Just own it. You're good. You're good. Right. Do me a favor, take that testing sheet and start. You can down on the ground.
It's mine. I haven't finished it yet. I will. Dude.
Write that down. Start getting it in your memory. Okay? Good deal. God restored Jesus physically from death to life in his resurrected body, never to die again. Please. Love questions. Oh, and so in 1 Thessalonians, it talks about us being transformed in the twinkling of an eye. That right now, their habitation is a spiritual habitation. Okay? When they come and all is restored to earth, then is the time for physical body. Then is the time for the upgraded body. Right? Because we're coming back into this space, into this realm. Okay? So for those of us who say, if Jesus came back right now, okay? Boom. Boom. They're getting resurrected bodies. We're getting resurrected bodies all in the twinkling of an eye. Okay? In this space, in this moment.
So, does Jesus still have his resurrected body?
Or dwelling at the right hand of the Father.
In the spiritual realm.
Seems to be. We're going to talk about it. Okay. Crazy thing. I've never been there. So, we're just kind of...
Unless I was there before I was born.
Something was. Something was. Okay, you guys ready? Focus. Dude.
Did he say assume? No, just he was assuming.
Dude, focus. What was our Father's first warning to Adam and Eve? What was the very first warning? Jackson, I think I saw your hand first.
Don't eat from that tree.
And open that up a little bit for us. What are some of the implications surrounding that statement? You're absolutely right. Don't eat from that tree. Why? What's attached to that? What are the consequences of that? Death. Going. Yeah. For the moment you do, you will surely die. Walking apart from the giver of life, you will die. Step away. Go down your own path. Choose your own way. And there will be death. Physical death. Real death. That he is the sustainer of life. He's the source of life, right? I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does a father do? The father begets life. Treason and corruption, I'm going to cut myself off from the Father. What's the result? What's going to happen? If I cut myself off from the Father, he's the source of all life, what's going to happen to me? Yeah, absolutely. Might as well take the plant, stick it in the closet, close the door, and turn off the lights. What's going to start to happen to that plant? Outside of the sun, outside of the nutrients, the warmth, the watering, slowly, that plant, might as well just call it dead, right? We say that every single time we go get a Christmas tree. Oh, it's alive. Oh, the moment you cut that thing down, what? It's dead. It's dead. It's dead. It just doesn't know it yet. Yeah. Central stories. Can you think of some central stories in the Old Testament that involve deliverance out of death? Where were people threatened by death? Death is on the way, and God delivered. Porter? Awesome. Awesome. That's very, very good. All right, can you open it up a little bit more? Well, who's threatening who? What's the story? Who's the king of Egypt? What's his name? Do you remember? Pharaoh, right? Which is just a fancy Egyptian way of saying king. And what was his threat? What was he going to do? Yeah, kill the Israelites. And there's actually a couple different waves of this, wasn't there? Yeah, first wave that kind of set Moses upon a path was one Pharaoh raised up who did not know Joseph or the things that he had done or God had done and said, you know what? There's too many of these Jews. If we don't do something about this, they might just rise up and be our undoing. So you know what we should do? Let's just go wipe out all the babies. We'll take a generation off the table, and we'll be fine. A little reset, a little genocide. Death lingering, hanging over, death on the way. And in all of that, God is going to deliver out someone out of death to be the bringer of life. Yeah, Moses. Moses, because the Pharaoh's daughter drew Moses out of the River Nile. But then what happens? Moses goes up. Moses comes into the country. Moses comes back to set the people free. 10 plagues. Passover. Firstborn dies of Egypt. And Israel is delivered through the waters into the promised land. Yeah, deliverance and death. Can you think of another story where death and deliverance are central aspects?
Lazarus.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Jesus kind of setting us up of a prequel of things to come. All right, so here's this person, Jesus, and Jesus is making some pretty crazy claims. I am the resurrection. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the bread of life. And yeah, he goes to the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus comes forth. Boy, there seems to be this life-giving capacity that comes through Jesus. Good. What else? Another story can you think of where there is deliverance out of death? Who built the ark? Noah. Who built the ark? Brother Noah built the ark. What is that? That's chaos, floods, and death, and God delivering the people through the waters. God delivering from death. Okay? God restored Jesus physically from death to life. That's where we are in the story. That's where we are in the narrative. Okay. What's significant about the fact that it was on the third day? Yeah? How so? How's it confuse you? Yeah? Your key verse that you're going to look at, okay? Look at this. This is Luke 24, verse 6. Read it with me. It's in your book, or you can read it up here. He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. On the third day rise. He's not here. He says, you remember who's saying that? Remember who says that? Yeah, angel says that. Yeah, he's not here. Remember how he told you when he was in Galilee? Jesus would do this. He talked about it more than once, that this was going to happen, that the Son of Man had to be delivered into the hands of sinful men and then on the third day rise. Yeah, so what's the big deal about the fact that it was on the third day? You bring up an interesting question. Well, if you add up the hours from Friday to Saturday and Sunday, that's not 3 days. That's how a Westerner would, yeah, do math, right? Absolutely, but it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. Yeah, those moments. Yeah, you're right. It's not a 24 plus 24 plus 24. What's the significance about the third day? Let me read some passages to you. Okay? You ready? You here? Carmen, we good? Haley, we good? King, rocking it? All right. Speedy King, fast King. This is John 2, 13 through 22. What is significant about the third day? The Passover of the Jews was at hand. Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found that those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. Making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away and do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, what sign do you show us for doing these things?" He's making a very prophetic gesture. He's acting like a prophet. So, hey, What's your signature? What's backing you up that gives you the right to act like this? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple. 3 days, I will raise it up. The Jews said, it's taken us 46 years to build this temple. Okay, I'm 45, 46. Okay, our entire lifespan, okay, to raise up, okay? And you're going to raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. And they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Okay, so yeah, let me read you another passage. This is from Matthew 12. And some of the scribes and Pharisees answered Jesus saying, teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. You know, you do some cool stuff. We want to see some cool stuff. We want to see some proof that you are this mighty teacher that you say that you are. Back it up, what you got. Jesus answered them, an evil, adulterous generation seeks for a sign. But no sign will be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment of his generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. All right. So Jesus is layering a whole bunch of ideas all together. All together. And right now in this context, he's talking about the story of Jonah. Who could give us just some broad strokes of the story of Jonah? Maybe you watched the Veggie Tales. Maybe you read the story. Just like, who's Jonah? What's the deal? What's he supposed to be doing? What isn't he doing? Yeah, it's different. Yeah. Go to Nineveh, preach. Yep.
And he's trying to run away.
He went the complete opposite direction. Yeah. You're supposed to go this way. He went literally the opposite direction. Right. Then what happened? Yep. He said, I'm supposed to go to land. I'm going to sea. Yep. Then what happens?
No. A storm came up on him.
Big storm.
And they said,
bad storm.
Like, hey, it's my fault. Sorry. Throw me in the water. And the storm was up. Right?
Yep. And what happened? It's exactly right. And then what happened? 3 nights, yeah.
And then he threw him back up on the beach.
Yep, regurgitated him, threw him up on land. Apparently Jonah did not sit well in the belly of the whale. Then what did he do?
He's like, fine, I'll go to Nineveh.
They go to Nineveh, yep. He goes and he preaches. The entire city experiences revival, falls and repents before the Lord, and Jonah has a hissy fit about it. Because he's not a big fan of the Ninevites. The Ninevites were terribly cruel, mean people to the people of Israel. Yeah, same part of the world. Yeah, a little racist of you, Sonia, but okay. But here, so here, get what's at the heart of the story. Okay, so Jonah, the messenger of God, God's messenger, called out to preach and proclaim repentance to those who are far from God. Okay? Says, no, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Goes out into the chaos waters. Waters of death, where the monsters are, where the demons dwell, where the beasts exist. And is swallowed up. Swallowed up. If you kind of read into the story, the basic idea is they throw him into the sea. He drowns. He's swallowed. Okay? Some big fish or something came along, swallowed him up, and then spit him back up onto land. Okay? Now, some people think that one of the reasons that he was so effective, okay? Imagine if he was in the belly of an acidic organ, he might have been regurgitated, looking quite hideous and white and yucky. And so he steps out into this city and he begins to proclaim the message. The ultimate picture is what? Into death, out of death. 3 days. 3 days. Same thing. Tear down the temple, I'll build it back up again. But what's he talking about? He's talking about himself. Why 3 days? What's the big deal about 3 days? Why does it matter? 3 days. Does it matter? What's the big deal? 3 days. Yeah, Jack, what do you think? Okay, Trinity. There you go. So that's the number three. That's the number three. You can't fake it. You can't fake it. If you were crucified, that means at the end, you died. And 3 days in a tomb just kind of seals the deal. I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, you know, you bury me and I'm going to come back out again. It's another one to say, yeah, I'll die. And then 3 days later, I'll come back to life again. That's a little bit different level of prophetic foresight capacity. The Apostle Paul jumps on this idea of resurrection and the idea of Jonah too. And this is 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 55. I just want to read it to you, okay? How Jonah was swallowed up by death. Behold, I tell you a mystery. What's a mystery? Carmen, what's a mystery? Something that's not known but can be revealed. Yep. Okay, like a mystery book. In the beginning, I don't know, but through the course of, I end up finding out. It's uncovered. Good. Very good. We shall not all sleep. When the Bible sometimes talks about sleep, what's it talking about? Yeah, death. Death. Why might the Bible describe death as sleep? What's that, Jackson? Yeah, you're going to get up. Yeah. If you have a biblical worldview of death, it's really no different than sleeping. For us, don't we have such a dark primal view? But Jesus oftentimes would look at a person who'd passed away, and what would he say? They're just sleeping. I'm going to go wake her up. Thank you. I want to hear what you have to say. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This is what you and I were talking about in a little bit. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable. We shall all be changed. This imperishable, I mean, this perishable body must put on imperishable. This mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, that which lasts forever, because this doesn't last forever. Dude, this is just falling apart. And the immortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying, listen to this, death is swallowed up in victory. Before, we were swallowed up by death. Death had control. Death had mastery. Death was the monster. Death was the beast. Jesus swallowed up. But through his resurrection, through his life, he says, no, 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 no. I've turned that around. Now death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? What does it mean to say 3 days? You know what it means? He really died. He really died. The Romans did their job. And if he really died, then he... Let's go back to it. He really rose. He really rose. We're not talking about some fanciful, neat little mythic of an idea. If he really died, that means he really came back to life. That's a little unique and special as far as faith systems and religions go. He did it himself. In fact, he called his shot. You guys know what that means? To call your shot? You know what that means? Call your shot? What's it mean? Who knows what it means to call your shot in sports? You raised your hand before and you didn't know. You're like, you know now? Okay, go ahead. All right, it's a little bit more than that. Mr. Adam, can you help us out a little bit? What's it mean to call your shot?
The classic example would be they were taking his bat, pointing the left field, so everybody knew where he was about to hit the home run.
And what's he do?
Hit it over that fence.
And then what does he go do? Right over that fence.
Yeah, you don't follow through.
Yeah, it doesn't follow through. Jesus, hey, kill me. Kill me. Crucify me. 3 days later, I'm coming back. Really died. Really physically from death to life in a resurrected body, never to die again. Never to die again. Let's look at that verse again. Let's read it again. You have it in front of you, okay? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. Yeah, Luke 24:6. I want you guys to wrestle with that one this week. You guys only have two questions this week, okay? There's just two questions, okay? Get that verse in there. Get that story. You're smiling. You're like, yeah, all right. Deuces. Deuces. Only doing two. Okay? Yeah. You want get that story inside of you. Feel that. Get the imagination. Imagine the angel proclaiming over the disciples, the weeping, looking women who came to the tomb to try to find Jesus, to anoint his body, to recognize his death. He said, here he's risen. Remember how he told you when he was still in Galilee? The Son of Man had to, and on the third day he would. Physical body into resurrected body. Okay, so what is that all about? Help me out. Porter. I know. I was just waiting. I couldn't tell when in the class it was going to be. But I knew, go. Yep. Ready, set? I love that kid. He's awesome. What does that mean? Resurrected body. What are your thoughts? What's a resurrected body? Better than before. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. Haley, what do you think? What's resurrected body? Resurrected body, never to die again. What's it mean, do you think? What might be different about a resurrected body? Perfect. Okay. What do you mean by perfect?
No ailments, no
couches, no birds. Okay, so it's going to be absent of those elements of death. Corruption. Good, I like it. Yeah, Lance. Hey, man, leaves all that stuff behind. Yeah, leaves all that stuff behind. Why is it different? What's missing? Why is it different?
Can't die.
You can't die. Good. What you got?
You're not dead anymore.
Yeah, back to the original design. Our bodies are still going to look like your body, but it's the original intention. A resurrected minus the effects of death, minus the effects of corruption and sickness. I wonder if I'll have hair. I don't know. What's that? Probably not. I know, right? Absolutely. The Mount of Transfiguration. Okay, Jesus brings some of his closest disciples with him, up to this mountain. Okay, and it says that he is transfigured in front of their very eyes, that his face begins to radiate with this shimmering white. His clothes are transformed. They get this insight, this glimpse of Jesus in his glorified body. Yeah. This is what's awaiting for us. You know what it also means? It also means that your body is important. Your body's a part of you, and it matters. How you treat it matters. We're in a culture and an age that's trying to diminish and manipulate, judge the body. No. He made your body, loves your body. It is a part of who you are. It is not a less than, like, oh, there's my mind up here, but there's my body down here. It's just my body. No, it's part of what makes us us. It is so important, so vital, that it is not removed at the resurrection. We don't start floating around some weird Pixar elemental thing. No, the body is restored to what it was intended originally to be. Okay? Especially ladies, hear me. Your body's important. Cherish it. Care for it. Don't let people tell you otherwise. Is it good? Go ahead.
Do people look like what they do when they die in heaven?
There's going to be something that's recognizable. Okay? Like, there's a discussion of the rich man and Lazarus. Like, they died, but they were able to distinguish who was who. Okay? But while at the same time, a lot of the conversation about what happens after death is a little bit like arranging deck chairs on the Titanic. Okay? Or trying to figure out what the temperature is in hell. Like, yeah, we can kind of speculate some things, but while at the same time, here and now is supposed to be the priority. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. Should we keep going? Yeah, let's keep going. What does it mean for Jesus to sit at God the Father's right hand? What does it mean for Jesus to sit at God the Father's right hand? I love all of your answers. You're always ready to answer, and I really appreciate that. But we have lots of other people, and I think they have some things to say too. Okay, Carmen. Not good. Won't do. Won't do. I bet your dad didn't let you get away with that, and I'm not going to let you get away with that either. No shoulder shrugs. Got to give me an answer, girl. What do you think? Spitball it. What do you think that means? Sit at the Father's right hand. Like a person at the right hand. You know what the person at the right hand does. Does those things. Okay, cool. Okay. Ryan, what do you think? What's it mean to sit at the Father's right hand? Dominant hand is the hand of authority. It's the hand of executing command and law and doing. Yeah, yeah. Often the king would turn to the right hand. Okay, all these. Okay, yeah, Jackson. I'm asking the question about it. Okay, Socrates. Yeah, that's good. You ready? Okay, so like a lot of good stories, you got to know the story before the story. Okay, this doesn't come out of nowhere. Okay, there's a story before the story. And first, let's write down this answer, and let me walk you through it. Jesus, this is what it means, okay? Let's write this down. Jesus is Lord over the church and all creation, ruling with all authority from the Father. What does it mean? Well, it means that Jesus is Lord over the church and all creation, ruling with all authority from the Father. Give you a chance to write that down. Lance, write it down. Get to the page, please. Get to the page, please. Wow, all you had to hear was one word and you knew it was her. I'm impressed, Adam. Jesus is Lord over church and all creation, ruling with all authority from the Father. Okay, I'm going to give you the backstory. You guys ready? Okay, the backstory of all of these pieces comes in a small book written by a guy named Daniel. Okay? In Daniel chapter 7, I'm going to read a whole chunk of scripture, a big chunk. So I need you guys to stay alive, awake, alert, and enthusiastic. Okay, you ready? You hear? This is good stuff. This isn't just Bible nerd stuff. Okay, but this is real good. This is how a lot of the pieces come together. Okay, Daniel chapter 7, 1 through 14. It is. A lot of the stuff that's in the book of Revelation, images, ideas drawn from some of the writing habits and styles in Daniel. It's called apocalyptic literature. It's like literature that's high definition, HD, 4D, glasses, crazy in your face. Daniel chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream, visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, "I saw in my vision by night, behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea." What comes out of the sea? Chaos comes out of the sea. Four great beasts came out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then as I looked, its wings were plucked off and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. Behold, another beast, a second one like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, "Arise and devour much flesh." After this, I looked, behold, another like a leopard with 4 wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this, I saw in the night visions, behold, a 4th beast, terrifying, dreadful, and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which 3 of the 1st horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in its horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white, white as snow. Hair of his head was pure wool. His throne was fiery flame. Its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from him. 1,000,000 served him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking, and as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Ah, I saw in the night visions, behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. You got it all figured out?
Yep.
Got it all? Make perfect sense? Understand everything? King, you good? Got it? Understand it? Reggie? Clear as mud? About as confused as a termite in a yo-yo? Yep. All right, so broad strokes. So he's using symbolism and metaphor to unpack some things that are to come. Okay, what comes out of the sea? Beasts. And the sea is chaos. And these beasts are imperial powers. They're city-states. It could be the Persians. It could be the Greeks. It could be the Medes. The 4th one is the greatest, most powerful of all. It's known for being made out of iron, and it conquers everything. Want to guess what empire that was? No, not the Babylonians. Not the Persians. Not the Israelites. Rome. Yep. But while all of this is happening, the Ancient of Days, who do you think the Ancient of Days is? Yeah, I mean, you kind of think about it a little bit. Sits up on a throne, long white beard, long white hair. Bunch of thrones are in front of him. Thousands upon thousands are serving him. He's very much in control. Very much in control. And he lays waste to the chaos beasts. And in that moment, it says, one like the Son of Man comes up to him. What does that mean, one like the Son of Man? What do you think that might mean? Not Jesus, not yet, but he loves that phrase. It means a human. Son of Man means a human. One who's like a human, a human. A human now comes up, and God gives to the human the right and the authority to rule over creation correctly, the way that he should, the way that it should be cared for, like the beginning of the story always was supposed to be, okay? Why does all this matter? Great beasts rally against the ancient. Chaos is going to be destroyed. A human being will be given the right hand. David's son, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered. Remember what book that came from? You guys memorize it. Revelation. Revelation 5, yeah. Who is this? Who is the Son of Man who ascends upon the clouds? Jesus. It's always the right answer, right? It's always the right answer, yeah. Jesus' favorite term for himself was the Son of Man. Let me show you how he drops it a couple times. There are a couple of mic drop moments. This is Mark 14. He remained silent. He made no answer. This is when he's before the high priest before his crucifixion. The high priest asked him, Mark 14, 61 through 64, are you the Christ? Are you the anointed one? The blessed? And he said to him, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tears his garments. What further witness do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision? And they all condemned him, deserving death. Why are they so upset? What is it that Jesus was saying in that moment that made them so mad? He says, I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God, coming upon the clouds. He's doing a hyperlink. He's throwing back. They all know Daniel. They know the promises of Daniel. And who is Jesus saying that passage in Daniel is about? He's saying, oh, by the way, that's about me. That's about me. Yeah. Yeah. Ruling with all authority as one from the power. That's why when you get to Acts chapter 1, this is this turn from Jesus' earthly life to the ministry of the church. How is he described of leaving? This is Acts chapter 1. So when they had come together, okay, this is the Lord. They asked him, Lord, at what time will you restore the kingdom of Israel? Hey, when are you going to come clean up the mess? The beasts are running all over the place. Like, this is bad. Are you going to fix all this? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. You don't need to know. You don't need to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the utter ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Yeah, because what's the promise of? He will go up into the clouds and be at the right hand of the Father Almighty. Yeah. What conclusions are you supposed to draw? He's ruling. He's at the right hand. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. Okay? Here's your passage. You can see it in your book. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 1, 3. You guys read that passage? Let's read it together. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 1, 3. Where is Jesus right now? Yeah, he's not in your heart. He's not in your heart. Where is he? He's at the right hand of the Father, ruling, reigning. Who is in your heart? Spirit. Yeah, you're indwelt with the Spirit of Jesus. What is Jesus doing right now? What's he doing? What you doing? Ruling. Ruling. It's all authority over the church and all creation. Yeah. Yeah. King Jesus. King Jesus. Ruling. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. All right. What does the creed mean that Jesus rose again from the dead? Previous page. Let's look at it together. Answer. God restored Jesus, read it with me, physically, from death to life in his resurrected body, never to die again. Prove it. He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. Luke 24:6. And then your next question. What does it mean for Jesus to sit at God the Father's right hand? Answer. Jesus is Lord over the church and all creation, ruling with all authority from the Father. Prove it. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Yeah. Yay, great job tonight, guys. Great job. Keep working through the creed on a daily basis, memorizing it, grabbing a hold of it, memorizing those verses. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. Yeah. If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you guys stand? We'll dismiss in prayer. Next week, he'll come again to judge the living and the dead. He'll judge the living and the dead. And it's about time to start talking about the Spirit. Be excited. New class hopping into. It's getting busy. God's doing a lot of stuff. A lot of life stuff. I'm excited. You know it. That's right. That's so cool. That's so cool. Mr. Adam, before I pray, any closing thoughts, ideas, hope projects?
Hope projects. Every Saturday, 8 a.m. is when to show up. 8 a.m., the actual doors to Shoppers open at 9, and it lasts until 11 or 12. Is
Agape. Friday.
Bethany Center, I need to talk to you guys about your availability. It is sometimes available on Friday evenings for volunteers to come in and sort, clean, prep things. And the biggest need is during the week, during weekday hours, because that's the hardest time to get people in. But that is usually 10 a.m. I'm supposed to write these things down and have them prepped for you, so I'll have to.
Can you get them for us for next week? You'll get them for you for next week. We're asking of the three projects that we're going to present, you guys pick one of them, okay? Deliver on that between October, November, and December, okay, for your hope rotation, okay? Okay, so he'll have those options, some great ways to invest. Anything else, Mr. Adam?
Seeds of hope.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, to be gracious. His favor, his face, warming you. Oh, this week, may you know what it means for God to give you peace. God bless. Have a great week. Don't forget your honey stick.